It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Different policies are handled in different ways. For instance, for automobile insurance, in Virginia we have standard forms, which means every insurance company selling an auto policy is basically selling you the exact same form. They can increase the coverage from our standard form, but they can't decrease the coverage. So when you shop around for coverage in Virginia, if you're shopping the same coverages, the same limits of the policy, then you're getting the same apple. You're comparing the apples to apples, very close apples to apples.
George Lyle, Supervisor of Consumer Services of the Property and Casualty Division of the State Corporation Commission's Bureau of Insurance, talks about automobile, homeowners, and renters insurance. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn about a new law that limits the use of restraint and seclusion in Virginia's schools. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 264, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Earlier this month, Governor Terry McAuliffe signed historic legislation that will protect Virginia's school children. The new law will greatly restrict the use of seclusion and restraint on children in public schools. It requires the State Department of Education to develop regulations prohibiting the use of seclusion and restraint, except in situations where the child's behavior presents a serious risk of physical harm to self or others. Children in Virginia's schools will be able to get the education they deserve without fear and without trauma, commented Colleen Miller, the executive director of the Disability Law Center of Virginia. This is a question of basic human rights. It is a historic day for Virginia. The law was based in part on a study conducted by the Disability Law Center of Virginia titled Unrestrained Danger, Seclusion and Restraint in Virginia's Public Schools. The report found that children in Virginia's public schools may be subjected to long periods of seclusion and restraint with virtually no oversight or regulation by the State Department of Education. The Disability Law Center of Virginia collected policies and procedures from almost all school districts in Virginia and reviewed them for the presence of protections for children with disabilities. 128 of Virginia's 133 school districts provided information for the report. The results were discouraging. 32 school districts reported that they did not have any procedures that restrict a teacher's ability to restrain or seclude a child. 83 school districts provided procedures that failed to meet the suggested guidelines developed by the Virginia Department of Education. No public school produced standards that would meet the requirements set for private schools in Virginia. In Virginia's public schools, a child could be restrained for an unlimited amount of time, and the school faced no oversight or regulations. Schools did not even have to notify the parents when a restraint had been used. Nothing prohibited a school from putting a child in dangerous restraints. Nothing limited how long a child could be left in seclusion. No rules controlled whether or not a school could lock a child in a closet all day long. The new law should go a long way toward ending these abusive practices and prohibit the most dangerous practices, including mechanical restraints and prone restraints. For more information, go to the website of the Disability Law Center of Virginia at www.dlcv.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the State Corporation Commission. We're speaking with George Lyle. He is the Supervisor of Consumer Services, Property and Casualty Division of the Bureau of Insurance. And we will be talking today about the Bureau of Insurance, what they do, and more particularly about the Property and Casualty Division and what they specifically do. Welcome to the show, George.
Thank you, Marty. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. And the first question I'm sure our listeners would be interested in is, what is the Bureau of Insurance? What do you do?
Okay, the Bureau of Insurance is a division of the State Corporation Commission, and which is a large regulatory agency in Virginia that regulates corporations of different types. We are in the financial side of that and, of course, the insurance industry. The insurance industry is probably one of the larger industries in the country still regulated at the state level.
And specifically, what does the Property and Casualty Division of the Bureau of Insurance do?
Well, we regulate the property and casualty insurances, auto insurance, homeowners insurance, business insurance, renters insurance. It's the stuff that you can feel and touch, as opposed to the health and life side of the insurance industry. We deal with consumers. We deal with rates and forms. When a company wants to write a type of property and casualty insurance, they have to file their rates and their forms with us. We look at the policies to ensure that they're providing some value, that they do what they're supposed to do. If a particular kind of insurance is regulated by state law, we make sure that it complies with the state law. We make sure that the rates are in compliance with our rating laws to make sure that the consumer is protected.
So, in essence, you're reviewing the policies that are sold to consumers in Virginia before they're actually put on the market?
Yes. I mean, different policies are handled in different ways. For instance, for automobile insurance, in Virginia, we have standard forms, which means every insurance company selling an auto policy is basically selling you the exact same form. They can increase the coverage from our standard form, but they can't decrease the coverage. So when you shop around for coverage in Virginia, if you're shopping the same coverages, the same limits of the policy, then you're getting the same apple. You're comparing the apples to apples, very close apples to apples. So that's a good thing, we think, in Virginia, to make sure that everybody's protected. When you go to the property side, particularly on homeowners insurance or renters insurance, we have what's known as minimum standards. So each company writing a particular type of homeowners policy has to meet that minimum standard. Again, that the companies can broaden those standards, they can go above those standards, but they can't go below it. So again, we think it's a very effective way to make sure that consumers can shop, to make sure they are getting comparable prices on comparable products.
And that's a good segue to really the next question I had, going back to the automobile insurance. What is that standard coverage that every company has to offer and can't go below?
Well, when we talk about auto insurance, an auto insurance policy, it's primarily the liability coverage that is provided. It has to be provided. And the limits for liability in Virginia are $25,000 per person, $50,000 per accident, bodily injury, if you hurt somebody, and then it's $20,000 property damage, if you damage their property. The Commonwealth is concerned that people have enough coverage to protect the other party. It's not the Commonwealth's responsibility to protect your car. It's their responsibility to protect other citizens. So when we talk about an automobile policy in Virginia, you have to have certain minimum limits, and a company can't write a policy for limits less than 25, 50, and 20. It's called a split limit, with the 25 per person, 50 per accident for bodily injury, and then $20,000 property damage.
And are those limits generally enough, or does the Bureau of Insurance believe that additional coverage is a desirable thing?
Marty, I would say that most insurance professionals think that more coverage is a desirable thing. When you consider how easily hospital bills can occur, how high they can get, $25,000 isn't a significant amount for a hospital stay. So if you're in an accident and you're the one responsible for the accident, responsible for the other person's injuries, it can easily exceed $25,000. And for the $20,000 for property damage, there are not many cars out there that are purchased for $20,000 anymore, much less the tractor trailers full of computers and full of other equipment, the guardrails, the signposts, things like that. If you cause an accident and cause a significant amount of property damage, you're still responsible for that damage, but your policy only is going to pay to the limit of that policy, which is the $20,000 for property damage. So I think most insurance professionals would say that's not adequate coverage.
Now, we have been talking about liability insurance. There are, I gather, other types of coverage that are available above and beyond liability. What are those coverages?
Well, again, liability is the main thing. In Virginia, you also have, by statute, the policy must include uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. That protects you when somebody drives either legally or illegally uninsured in Virginia. There are still people who don't have insurance in Virginia, who sometimes it's legal and they've paid a fee to DMV to allow them to do that. And sometimes there are people who just let their policies lapse and choose to drive without insurance. This coverage is mandated by state law, and it does protect you against those losses. Another coverage that's mandated to be offered, you don't have to purchase it, is known as medical expense coverage. That pays for medical bills for expenses incurred for the people in your car. The liability pays the other party, the other person that you hit. The medical payments protects you and your family and your passengers. And every company must offer limits of at least $2,000 on each car. You do not have to take it. You can refuse to do it. And some people who have very good medical plans at work might choose not to have medical coverage on there, but the medical coverage does apply to people who don't live in your household, so it can be a significant benefit. Then we move on to the coverages that actually protect your car, the coverages that your lien holder might be interested in, the collision coverage that protects the car if you were to be hit by another vehicle or if you were to hit a tree or a guardrail or a fence post. The collision coverage would pay for those types of damages. There's also a coverage that's now known, we used to call it comprehensive coverage, it's now known than other than collision, and it's the coverage that protects your car against things like fire and theft and flood. It also pays for those deer accidents when you hit an animal with your car. Instead of being paid under collision, it's paid under your comprehensive or other than collision coverage. And it also pays for glass breakage. We often see claims where rocks come up and hit our windshields and they need to be repaired in order to pass inspection. So that's a type of loss that's paid under the other than collision coverage.
And you mentioned earlier uninsured motorists. I guess in Virginia, you still can pay that uninsured motorist's fee. Tell us what that does for somebody.
Okay, that's a good question, Marty, and it's something that insurance folks really don't like to talk about much, and I don't like to mention it often because I don't really think it's a great option for people. It's a $500 fee that's paid in Virginia to allow an individual to drive knowingly uninsured. It provides no protection at all. There is no coverage provided. There's not a fund that other people can go to collect that money. It's paid to DMV. They use it to offset some of their costs for the monitoring programs they have to try to catch illegal uninsured motorists. And then the rest of the money is given back proportionally to insurance companies to pay for the coverage that's provided by the uninsured motorist coverage. It doesn't come close to offsetting those losses. So that's the reason there's a premium attached to the uninsured motorist coverage. But that's what it goes to. It's really a situation where in Virginia, to prove financial responsibility, you're able to do that after the fact. If an individual were to hit you and didn't have coverage, but they were able to pay all of your damages, everything's fine. Everybody's made whole, and there's no problem. If they are unable to pay you, then you can go to DMV. DMV will take some administrative actions, probably suspend their license, require them to have insurance in the future, and then you'll spend some time trying to collect that money. Of course, if you have uninsured motorist coverage, you can go to your own insurance company. They'll pay for your damages, and they will then pursue the uninsured motorist, the individual who hit you and didn't have the money to pay for your damages.
Well, that's a pretty comprehensive discussion of that. And so let's switch now over to homeowners insurance. You said there's a standard coverage, again, that has to be offered at a minimum. What is that standard coverage?
Well, a homeowner's policy from an insurance industry standpoint is a package policy. It includes coverage for your dwelling, for your outbuildings, for your contents. It gives additional living expense. And what's different about a homeowner's is it also includes liability coverage to protect you against injury or damage that you cause as a result of something on your property. So from the insurance side standpoint, it's a package policy where they include a lot of coverages, as opposed to the days when insurance just got started, when they just provided coverage on the house and it was just for fire, and then they added lightning, and then they added windstorm, and they kept adding different perils that were covered. A homeowner's policy provides a lot of those coverages together. You don't have to buy a homeowner's. You could buy a fire policy, but it's a unique situation where usually by buying a homeowner's policy, you actually get much better coverage at a lower premium. So that's something that any consumer would certainly want to think about is to buy that. And then homeowner's coverage is then once you get into the homeowner's program, there are different levels. And they're we know them as basic, broad, and special. Some companies refer to them as HO1, HO2, HO3. The HO3 is generally the broadest policy available, provides the most coverage, and it's become generally the standard policy in the marketplace today. There are not a lot of policies there. And when earlier I talked about a minimum standard, every company that writes an HO3 has to write a certain amount of coverage. And what an HO3 does over an HO2, it provides broader coverages. More things are covered in that policy. So that's, again, what you, as a consumer, you're looking for that HO3, the HO3 special policy to provide the best policy for a homeowner. And again, that the very important liability coverage. There's with dog bite accidents and slip and falls and things like that, people can get sued for anything, and often they're not at fault. So the liability coverage provides a very important protection there by providing a defense, and your insurance company will step in and they'll defend you. And if they lose and you are held responsible, they'll pay up to the limit of coverage that you've purchased on your policy. Homeowner's policy was developed to cover what most of us have. Some people don't have outbuildings, but the outbuilding coverage is provided automatically. It costs more to design a specific policy for every individual, so the concept is to develop one policy form that meets most of our needs. All of us have different needs, though. Some people have a lot of jewelry. If you have a lot of jewelry, it's not going to be properly and adequately covered under the homeowner's policy. You might need to buy a floater for that. There are exclusions or limitations on guns that occur. There's no fire limitation, but there's a theft limitation because guns aren't going to burn up, but they might very well be stolen. So there are a lot of things in there. And as a consumer, you have to find an agent or a company that you're comfortable with so that you can tell them a little bit about your life, about your lifestyle. What do you own? They need to know the property that you own. They need to know what goes in your house to figure out how much coverage you need and the best way to provide that coverage.
And the last area of insurance that I was hoping to talk about is renter's insurance. That seems to be a variant of, but not the same as, homeowners. Tell us about renter's insurance.
Well, it's very similar to homeowner's insurance, except it doesn't provide coverage on the dwelling and it doesn't provide coverage on the outbuilding because as a renter, you don't have those, you don't own those properties. So you can't insure something you don't own. So it provides you with primarily with coverage on your contents. That's what we think about when we want insurance as a tenant. We want it on our contents. But there's also additional living expense. Sometimes people have additional expenses when they have to leave because of a fire. So this policy would provide some protection against those additional expenses. And again, it also provides the liability coverage. As a renter, you can still be held responsible for what happens, particularly inside the apartment. The landlord might be responsible for a flight of steps that are damaged and somebody falls. But once they come into your into your apartment, you could very well be held responsible. You might still have a dog. You might still do something that injures somebody where you need that coverage. We particularly talk to consumers who are trying to get in a position to buy a house and ask them, do you have renter's insurance? Because a lot of people are saving money, and they're trying to get that down payment, and they're trying to save all they can. But picture yourself getting ready to make that first purchase, but you have an apartment fire right before that happens. All of a sudden, instead of having that down payment, you're replacing all the items that were lost there. And the fact is, you might be the one responsible for the fire. You might have caused somebody else's damage. That's why where the liability coverage can come in. So it's generally a fairly inexpensive coverage compared to some others. If you've got an auto policy, you can often get a discount from your auto carrier. If you write it with the same company, they're often they refer to them as multi-policy or multi-account discounts, that if you insure have more than one policy with an insurance company, you might get a discount on both of them, so that can reduce the cost, the overall cost of your insurance program. So we do want to encourage consumers to shop around. I think something we haven't touched on yet are the premiums and how they're determined. A lot of folks call us and think that the state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, sets rates. That's not the case for most lines of insurance, particularly on the property and casualty side. There are a lot of insurance companies out there. All they have to do is file their rates with us. We do not have the authority to approve or disapprove those rates. It's known as file and use. As soon as they file a rate with us, they can start using it in the marketplace. So the only thing a consumer can do to try to lower their price is to shop around. Each company is trying to find their share of the market, just like any other product out there. And that's one reason I think you see so many insurance commercials. They're all asking you to give them a chance to try to sell you a product. And by shopping around, you can save significant dollars.
Which is a good segue to the last question that I had, which is this. Consumers, I'm sure, contact the Bureau of Insurance about rates, and all you just said, all they have to do is to file the rates and then use them. So what type of consumer complaints can people make to the Bureau of Insurance that the Bureau of Insurance can be of assistance in?
I think one of our biggest goals is to always open up the lines of communication. We do not have the authority to make a company pay a claim, but we can have somebody at the company review the situation and determine whether or not they think they've handled it properly. We can make sure that somebody is looking at it. And we have some expertise here, and we can question the company if we truly don't believe they've made a correct decision. We also spend a lot of time educating consumers as to, you know, you might want that to be covered, but it's truly not covered under your policy, and this is why, and this is maybe how it could have been covered, or maybe it can't be. There are a few things that are statutorily required by the Commissioner of Insurance to oversee. Anytime somebody has an auto policy or a homeowner's policy canceled or terminated, they have a right to review by the Commissioner. Generally, that review deals with the technicalities. Was it done legally? Did they give proper notice? Things like that. Did they use a reason that's legal? And if they've done that, unfortunately, we can't make a company reinstate it. If they haven't, we can have the company reinstate it. So, you know, we've got that side of the business where we can do it. If it's a rating situation, we can make sure the policy is rated correctly. We can't make sure that consumers get the rate they want. And we can certainly contact a company, make sure, determine how it's rated, make sure that it's done correctly. But, you know, most companies are pretty good at charging the rates they've got on file.
And if someone did have a complaint that they wanted to make to the Bureau of Insurance, how would they go about doing that? What would be the best way or ways to do that?
Well, to file a complaint, you can go on our website. You can do it electronically. Our web address is www.scc.virginia.gov, and you can find the Virginia Bureau of Insurance. You can very easily, I tell consumers, just Google Virginia Bureau of Insurance, and you'll come right to that site. You can send in, they can send in a letter. Our address is, we're right down here on East Main Street in Richmond. Our post office box is 1157 Richmond, Virginia, 23218. All we need is a letter explaining what the issue is, policy number, claim number, their return address. We do most of our correspondence via the United States Postal Service just for security reasons. They can call us toll-free from anywhere in the state at 1-877-310-6560 and hit option 5, and you'll go right to our Property and Casualty Consumer Services section.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with George Lyle. He is supervisor of the Consumer Services section of the Property and Casualty Division of the Bureau of Insurance. And we have been talking about property and casualty insurance in Virginia, the requirements, and the way that the Bureau of Insurance can be of assistance. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Accidents involving motor vehicles remain the leading cause of serious injury and preventable fatalities in the U.S. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when personal injury attorney Josh Silverman talks about auto accidents, the injuries they cause, and how to prove fault in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on April 16, 2014. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wakeman.